He buried his gift in the earth. And for me, this is very obviously a lot of people who, I'm saved. That's my gift from God. God saved me. I'm his servant. And they don't serve him. They don't serve his purposes. They don't serve his kingdom. They don't do anything. I mean, they may not even give it church, which could be a form of like the bank, you know? Should at least done something like that. Like with your faith deposited, you believe in me. Well, then put that faith into someone else so that they can go make money for me. Meaning they can prosper in the spirit. Like if you, you know, you feel like, hey, I understand the teachings, but I'm not a good teacher. Well, then you support a teacher. No veiled references there. But that's what they ought to do. Now, the thing is, one talent people don't do this. And it's part of the parable. It's that that's what happens. And Jesus gives you his reverse Robin Hood syndrome that he teaches. That he's going to take from the poor and give to the rich when it comes to the things of the Spirit. That those which are not serious about their faith and have very little in the kingdom are going to have that which they, as it is said in another place, what they seem to have because they don't really have it. Now in the parable, yes, they have it because it's a parable. But in truth, because of God's election, you can't lose your election. It's ridiculous because God chooses you. You don't elect yourself. What are you saying? You can't lose your salvation? Well, what it is you seem like you're saved, you talk like you're saved, you think you're saved, and then you turn out not to be saved, and you think, I lost my salvation. And it's like, yeah, well, that's what it seems like from your perspective, but from God's perspective, you didn't really ever have anything. Because he never chose you. Because if he had chosen you, if he had placed his love on you, I guarantee you'd be saved. God is that kind of God. You know why? Because if God is the kind of God that loves and can't save, he's weak and pathetic. I love these people. I wish they would just let me save them. But God is strong, and his love is strong. To me, it's an insult to say, to portray God the way the evangelicals portray him is insulting to God. God's love is powerful. It is strong. You know, it's like, imagine, you know, they say like, well, they gotta choose for themselves whether they want to live or die. It's like saying, oh, you know, if your kid has a gun to their head, don't try to stop them. Just let them choose for themselves. They've gotta choose whether they want to live or die on their own. Like, if you have power to stop them, you shouldn't do that, because that's not real love. You're interfering with their free will. As if interfering with someone's free will negates love. It doesn't. It does not. Because the most powerful form of love is the kind that bowls you over, that you cannot resist. So I always said to my wife about my love for her, it's not a choice I make. It's not a free will thing. It's because I feel like, how can I not love her? I absolutely must love her. I'm compelled. Compelled love is powerful. Compel them to come in. Compel them. Didn't you remember the parable of the feast? And this is one of my favorite parables because it really illustrates something about the kingdom of God. That God expects things of us. And the thing is, he doesn't expect things that should be hard for us. He gives us all this money. He gives us these pounds. You know, we get this money and we're supposed to do something with it. We're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to make him more of the same. Bring forth fruit unto righteousness. We've got to be busy about his business. What is his business? It's in the gospel. It's in holiness. It's in peace. It's in spreading the truth. It's in proclaiming the truth. And all these things. Yeah, and doing good to others. Doing good to the poor. Whatever it is in your capacity to do. Whatever he had, you know, if you've got 10 pounds of bananas, make your money in bananas. If you get 10 pounds of oranges, make your profit in oranges. To every man according to his gift. When Christ comes, I want him to find me to have been a profitable servant. That the knowledge he gave me didn't live dormant in me. And that the salvation he gave me didn't stay dormant with me. And that the righteousness he gave me did not stay dormant with me, but was shed abroad on others. And I know people look at me and they say, Paul, well, you're so talented. And that's true. You know, I write music, I teach the Bible, and you know, everyone recognizes, okay, I understand, Paul, you've got some talent there, and I definitely appreciate that. You know, you're a big jerk anyways. You know, far be it from me to take away from you your opinions. But everyone can do what they can do. So yeah, you know, you said that before, you want us to give you your money. I don't. I really don't. My dream is to always preach the gospel without charge. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you it was for your benefit. If you have money. I don't think poor people, don't send me your money. Just learn yourself and then try to develop your own gift. Pray to God for gifts that you could do, you know, but, you know, and if you want to give money, pray for God to help you. You know, if you've got a family to support, you got to support your family. And believe me, this ministry doesn't require a lot of money. But it is for the benefit of those who have it. They ought to give for their own benefit, because they ought not let their talent just lay dormant. Well, I'll listen to them teach. They feel like I've done him enough favor right there. I'm listening to his ministry. But that really tickles his feather that he has me listening to him. Surely not going to give. I don't need it. I don't. I certainly don't want it with that kind of a spirit. I don't want it like feeling like you feel compelled. Not by me. If you feel compelled of God, well then give. Probably should do something with what you have. You have salvation? You feel you have salvation? You've got to do something with that beyond just keeping it for yourself. Giving money to church? A lot of churches are out there preaching a corrupt gospel. And the money is being wasted. It's being wasted on a message that shouldn't be preached. And it's being wasted on men whose mouths should be stopped, whose damnation is not afar off. The returns and the rewards were all equitable to what they had, except for the one who had little. He goes away, and he's going to come back, and we should be ready for him. Not to come at any moment. I'll tell you what, Jesus is not coming today. He's not coming tomorrow, and he's not coming this month. And not very likely next month, unless the prophecies are really different than we expect. I mean, as far as time frames, but I certainly know he's not coming today or tomorrow or this week. Definitely not. There's just not enough time. Because before Jesus comes, certain signs have to happen. Jesus said there would be signs. Now today people say there are no signs. Jesus could come at any time. All the signs are fulfilled. They're liars. Liars, liars. You know, those are my enemies that would not, that I should reign over them. Bring them here and slay them before me. You think that's the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' generation. But I tell you that the men of Jesus' generation shall rise in judgment against the men of the last generation. Maybe this generation. Because if the works that will be done in the final generation were done in Jesus' generation, they would have repented.